بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will have the last class related to the train of the month of Ramadan, from heedlessness to sincerity. This is actually the 8th class, and it is the continuation of the class of the sincerity related to the Quran. And the title of the class today, inshallah, is The Way to the Paradise. And inshallah, today we will discuss about the final destination of every mankind, the virtues of the Quran, concepts of the Quran, etiquette with recitation of the Quran, and the basic requirement for your relation with the Quran. And inshallah, today we will learn about the final scene of the educational aspect of the Quran. Actually, over the last two classes, we were discussing that the goal of the Quran is to teach the unity of God. And in order to teach this unity of God, it is through two aspects. The first one is the Quran. Is the educational aspect, and the educational aspect is through mentioning different scenes which will build the belief inside the spirit of the Muslims, and we discussed it in detail the last week. And actually, the last scene which is related to the educational aspect of the Quran is the scene of the paradise and the hellfire. Last week we have a quick touch to that scene, and today inshallah we will learn about the final scenes of the educational aspect of the Quran in detail. These are the scenes of the paradise and the hellfire. And according to the rules of the Quran, it is the day of judgment which will be the last station for every man. Then the people will be divided into two parties, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura, Surah number 42, verse number 7. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك أوحينا إليك قرآنا عربيا لتنذر أم القرى ومن حولها وتنذر يوم الجمع لا ريب فيه فريق في الجنة وفريق في السعير. دانيال, can you please
read? And Bismillah ar-Rahim. And thus we reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Quran in Arabic, that you may warn the mother of the towns, Mecca, and all around it, and warn them of the day of assembling, of which there is no doubt, when a party will be in paradise, those who believed in Allah and followed what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought them, and a party in the blazing fire hell, those who disbelieved in Allah and followed not what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought them.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that the book of the deeds of every man will be evaluated by him on the day of assembling. Accordingly, those who believe in the unity of Allah and live their life as commanded by the Lord, so their reward will be the paradise. And those who deny the unity of Allah and refuse to submit or obey the commands of Allah, the sinners and the disbelievers, for them is the hell as the final destination. Regarding this comparison, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Yunus, Surah number 10, verse number 26 and 27 in detail. That what we will read now from Surah number 10, Surah Yunus, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And we will read verse number 26 and verse number 27 in order to feel the comparison between those two parties on the day of judgment. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم للذين أحسنوا الحسنى وزيادة ولا يرهق وجوههم قطر ولا ذلة أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون والذين كسبوا السيئات جزاء سيئة بمثلها وترهقهم ذلة ما لهم من الله من عاصم كأنما أغشيت وجوههم قطعا من الليل مظلما أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
For those who have done good and is the best reward in paradise, and even more, having the honor of glancing at the countenance of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither darkness nor dust nor any humiliating disgrace shall cover their faces. They are the dwellers of paradise. They will abide therein forever. And those who have earned evil deeds, their recompense of an evil deed is the like thereof, and humiliating disgrace will cover them, their faces. No defender will they have from Allah. Their faces will be covered as if it were with pieces from the darkness of night. They are the dwellers of the fire. They will abide therein forever.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two verses is clarifying to us how the final destination will be totally different for those whom they believe in the unity of Allah and follow the rules of Quran, and those whom they deny it. Those whom they believe in the unity of Allah and they live their lives according to the rules of the Quran, they are the dwellers of the paradise and they will abide therein forever. Regarding the other group, whom they are the disbelievers and the sinners, Allah is clarifying that they are the dwellers of the fire. They will abide therein forever. Actually, we need to pause on the word of forever. Forever means eternal. So, on the day of judgment, it will be either eternal happiness or eternal punishment. And it is up to the good deeds and up to the belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to have the detailed information about the destination of both these parties, we will recite from surah number 69, surah al-Haqqa, from verse 13 to verse 37, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying more and more about the destination of those two parties. We read surah number 69 and we will read from verse 13 to verse 37. أعوذ بالله 13 to 37. سورة number 69 and we read from 13 to 37 because it is the detailed description of the destination of these two groups. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا نفخ في الصور نفخة واحدة وحملت الأرض والجبال فدكتا دكة واحدة فيومئذ وقعت الواقعة وانشقت السماء فهي يومئذ واهية والملك على أرجائها ويحمل عرش ربك فوقهم يومئذ ثمانية يومئذ تعرضون لا تخفى منكم خافية فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فيقول هاؤم اقرءوا كتابية إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابية فهو في عيشة راضية في جنة عالية قطوفها دانية كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما أسلفتم في الأيام الخالية وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فيقول يا ليتني لم أوت كتابي ولم أدر ما حسابي يا ليتها كانت القاضية ما أغنى عني مالية هلك عني سلطانية خذوه فغلوا ثم الجحيم صلوا ثم في سلسلة ذرعها 70 ذراعا فاسلكوا إنه كان لا يؤمن بالله العظيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فليس له اليوم هاهنا حميم ولا طعام إلا من غسلين لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون.
Then when the trumpet will be blown with one blowing, the first one, and the earth and the mountains shall be removed from their places and crushed with a single crushing, then on that day shall the great event befall, and the heaven will be rent asunder. For that day the heaven will be frail and torn up, and the heavens will be on its sides with 8 angels. And 8 angels will that day bear the throne of your Lord above them. That day shall you be brought to judgment, not a secret of you will be hidden. Then as for him who will be given his record in his right hand will say, Here, read my record. Surely I did believe, and I shall meet my account. So he shall be in a life well-pleasing, in a lofty paradise. The fruits and bunches whereof will be low in your at hand. Eat and drink at ease for that which you have sent on before the days and past. Eat and drink at ease for that which you have sent on before you in days past. But as for him who will be given his record in the left hand will say, I wish that I had not been given my record, and that I had never known how my account is. Would that it had been my end, death. My wealth had not availed me. My power and arguments to defend myself had gone from me. It will be said, seize him and feather him. Then throw him in the blazing fire. Then fasten him with a chain whereof the length is 70 cubits. Verily he used not to believe in Allah the Most Great, and urged not of the feeding of the miskeen, the poor. So no friends has he on this day, nor any food except filth from the washing of wounds. Neither will eat it except the sinners, disbelievers, and polytheists.
So again, you know, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying in more details about the description of the final destination of every man who is created on the earth. Either he will be the one who believes in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that he will be given his record in his right hand. Okay? And accordingly, this means that he will be one of the dwellers of the paradise. Okay, the one whom Allah will give him his record in his right hand, this means that he went and he passed the test and he will be one of the dwellers of the paradise. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying about the paradise and how it is full of blessings which we can never imagine. Okay, regarding the other kind of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them their record in their left hand. Those people, when they will realize that they will get their record with their left hand, they will say, I wish I had not been given my record. They don't want to get their record. Okay? And they will say also, I wish that I had never known how my account is. Okay? Would that it had been my end, my death. He wants to escape the day of judgment. He wants to escape the hellfire. Okay? Because he realized that to have his record in his left hand, this means that the final destination forever will be the hellfire. At that moment, okay, he will remember and he will say, my wealth has not availed me, okay, and my power has gone from me. So when we recite these verses now, while we are still in the worldly life, everyone has to remind herself, if she is after her wealth or her power, she has to realize that on the day of judgment, there is no value for any wealth or any power. The value is only for the good deeds. And actually, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention all these facts in the Quran so that we will be aware of these realities while we are still in the worldly life, so that we will try our best to believe in the unity of Allah and to follow His commands, so that we will be from those whom they will get their record in their right hands. Okay? So, again, if we will discuss about that person who will get his book or his record with his left hand, okay, number one, he will feel very sorry, okay, and he will realize that his wealth and his power has no value on the day of judgment. Immediately, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, seize him, throw him in the blazing fire. That's it. This is the start of the real life. This is the start of the eternal life. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, fasten him with a chain whereof the length is 70 cubits. Okay? Just try to think of this, sister, for a minute. Okay? Someone on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him his record with his in his left hand. Okay? And he starts to realize that I lost everything. Immediately, while he is thinking, okay, about the worldly life, immediately he will be thrown in the hellfire. What an unimaginable destination. Who can accept this destination while he or she is still in the worldly life? If I am a logic human being, and I recite this surah only of the Quran, and I realize the destination, okay, of those whom they obey Allah and believe in His unity, the paradise, and that blazing fire which will be forever for those whom they deny the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, as a logic human being, I am supposed to choose what way to believe in the unity of Allah and to follow His commands, so that the paradise will be my eternal real life, or to decide for my eternal life to be the blazing fire. This is the question which every Muslim who recites the Quran is supposed to ask himself or herself. Okay? What is the plan which I am following in my daily life so that my destination will be the paradise? Okay, the plan has to be to believe in the unity of Allah and to follow the commands of the Quran. But when you look around and you notice that big percentage of the Muslims are not following the rules of the Quran, because in reality they don't know the rules of the Quran, okay, you will feel very upset. Why? Why? Everyone has to ask herself, why I am not following the rules of Allah, in spite of the fact that Allah is clarifying that those whom they will not follow the rules and not believe in reality, in the unity of Allah, the blazing fire is the only final destination. There is no makeup on the day of judgment. When the test of life will finish, there is no makeup. Either paradise eternal or blazing fire eternal. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah is again clarifying to every Muslim who is reciting the Quran. That destination of the blazing fire was because that person, he used not to believe in Allah. And he urged not on the feeding of the poor, not giving the charity. Okay, because this means that that person, he didn't believe in the day of judgment. Accordingly, on the day of judgment, he will not have any friend, and his food will be only boiling water and the discharge of the wounds of the sinners. Okay, and this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in his book, okay, that everyone has to live this life as a farm for the hereafter, because this life is a test Try to get as much as good deeds as you can so that your destination will be the paradise. And Allah is clarifying what is the paradise. And again Allah is warning against the hellfire. And Allah is clarifying what is the blazing fire. Okay, so all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught us everything in the Quran. And He gave us Muslims all the warning against having the hellfire as the final destination. So at the end of the day, it is the problem of every Muslim to choose for herself and or himself what final destination he wants to have. Okay. Actually, this was the last scene, okay, which we will discuss related to the educational aspect of the Quran. All praise to Allah, we discussed according to the, the reference which we have to the Quran. We discussed all the scenes which are related to the educational aspect of the Quran. Now, we will discuss the second aspect of the Quran, which is Quran as a practical code of life. Regarding Quran as a practical code of life, these are the rules which regulates the life of the Muslim, both on the personal level and on the community level. These are the rules of marriage, divorce, inheritance, the social, economic, political, and moral rules. Following these rules, that is to say, living the Quran as the code of life, was the reason behind the success of the Muslims in their early days. The Muslims in their early days, they have the best community because they live the Quran as a code of life. They follow the rules of the Quran and the Quran with their code of life. Inshallah, these rules of the Quran, we will discuss it inshallah gradually when we will finish with the unity of Allah and the educational aspect of the Quran, which we are following. We were following before the month of Ramadan, and inshallah from next class we will continue the same topic, which is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now regarding the Quran, actually I will discuss with you some of the concepts which are clarified in the Quran. The first concept which is clarified in the Quran is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the second concept is the concept of the unity of the Muslims. The Quran commands the Muslim not to disunite and become scattered groups. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this concept in Surah number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 103. We will read it now, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وريكم سورة نمبر 3 سورة آل عمران بن أسري واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا.
And hold fast, all of you, together to the robe of Allah, this Quran, and be not divided amongst yourselves. And remember Allah's favor on you, for you were enemies one to another, but He joined your hearts together, so that by His grace you became brethren in Islamic faith, and you were on the brink of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Thus Allah makes His proofs, evidences, verses, lessons clear to you that you may be guided.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying, thank you, David, clarifying that Muslims need to have the Quran as the base for their unity, because Allah only helps those who unite on the basis of His religion. Okay, so actually nowadays Muslims need to remember this concept of unity and to try to unite together on the basis of the Quran, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them to have the power, inshallah. The second concept in the Quran is the concept of superiority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the same surah, surah number 3, verse number 110, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. The same surah, surah number 3, surah Ali Imran, verse number 110. This is regarding the superiority of the Muslims. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Okay.
You true believers in Islamic monotheism and real followers of Prophet Muhammad and his Sunnah are the best the people has ever raised up for mankind. You enjoin al-Maruf, Islamic monotheism, and all that Islam has ordained, and forbid al-Munkar polytheism, disbelief, and all that Islam has forbidden, and you believe in Allah. And had the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, believed, it would have been better for them. Among them are some who have faith, but most of them are al-fusikun, disobedient to Allah and rebellious against Allah's command.
Actually, it's how did our nation become the finest and most superior? The answer that it was through its enjoining good and forbidding evil. So if we fail to do this, then we can no longer be the superior nation. Okay, and to be the superior, okay, that nation must enjoin good and forbid evil. Okay, so let us check our situation. Are we in reality enjoining good and forbidding evil or not? And the answer is clarifying our situation. The superiority is also mentioned in the same surah, Surah Ali Imran, surah number 3, in verse number 139. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْذَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So don't become weak against, nor be sad, and you will be superior if you are indeed true believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again clarifying that if Muslims are adherent to the Quran and the Sunnah, inshallah they will become the superior. Okay? So again and again, Muslims can be the superior nation if they adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah, and if they enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Okay, the third concept in the Quran is the concept of referring to the Quran and the Sunnah for judgment. Okay? Muslims have to refer to the Quran and the Sunnah for judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that concept in Surah number 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 65. Actually, sister, these concepts have to be clear for every Muslim. Every Muslim is supposed to know these concepts about Islam, because this means that he realized the rules of his religion. Especially for the revert sisters, you know, they must need these basic concepts so that, you know, they will realize, you know, the rules of their religion. Now we will read from Surah number 4, verse number 65. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما.
65. But know by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge in all disputes between them, and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions, and accept them with full submission.
Actually, nowadays, there are a lot of disagreement among the Muslims, and actually they are in great need to apply this concept so that, you know, they will have a better situation. Okay, the concept is, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in the same surah. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that we need to have the sunnah and the Quran as the basic for our judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified this concept in verse number 65 in surah number 4. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah in verse number 59, Allah clarified the same concept again in more details. so that you know there will be no excuse for any Muslim who is refusing to have the Quran and the Sunnah as the basis of the judgment of his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the same surah, surah number 4, verse number 59, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So this is the solution for all the disagreements between the Muslim. The solution is to refer to the Quran and the Sunnah for judgment. Okay? If there is any problem, we have to have the reference for the judgment from the Quran and the Sunnah. The next concept which is related to the Quran, mentioned to the Quran, is the concept that the future belongs to the Muslims. Actually, if I mention this concept, most of us will feel that, you know, it looks very difficult that this concept is a reality. Okay, but this is the concept of the Quran, the book of the truth, and we will learn about it in surah number 61, verse number 8 and 9. This is what the Muslims have to believe in, that inshallah the future belongs to the Muslims according to the conditions which Allah mentioned in His book. We will read now from surah number 61. Surah As-Saffat, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we will read verse number 8 and 9. Sorry, Surah As-Saff, not Surah As-Saffat. Surah As-Saff, okay, the row or the rank, okay, Surah called the rank, and we will read verse number 8 and 9. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. Okay, I will read this one. Okay, because I will read part of it. They intend to put the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah will bring the light of to perfection. He, it is who has sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of the truth to make it victorious over all the religions. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that, you know, Muslims can be the best nation, okay, if they follow the rules of the Quran and the Sunnah. Actually, Muslims nowadays are in great need of understanding this concept. Allah will make this religion, Islam, prevail and grant Muslim victory on one condition, which is that they follow the rules of the Quran and the Sunnah. And so long as the Muslims are not following these rules in any part of the world, so they will never, you know, have this future, okay? And they have again to return to the Quran and the Sunnah so that inshallah the future will be for them. The next concept which we learn from the Quran is the concept of loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, which we just read now, Surah number 3, verse number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Okay, Daniel, you can do this. Verse number 31.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then follow me, accept Islamic monotheism. Follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful.
So the claim of loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, cannot be accepted from one who acts in contradiction to his Sunnah. This concept is not clear in the minds of many of the Muslims who seems to believe that this love is merely a claim, while their conduct as well as their outward appearance opposes that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love To say that I love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this means that I follow the rules of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I live my life, okay, according to the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But to say that I love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all our deeds are in contradiction to his sunnah, this means that in reality we don't love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next concept is the concept of comprehensiveness of Islam. Many people believe that adherence to the religion is satisfied by the limited performance of certain acts of worship, and that as soon as they step out of the mosque, for example, they can deal with others in any wicked way they choose. Okay, Allah refuses this attitude and clarifies in Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 177, about the reality of the true believers. We will read now from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 177, so that we will realize about who are the true believers. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون.
It is not of your piety, righteousness in each and every act of obedience to Allah that you turn your faces toward east and or west in prayers, but Abir is the quality of the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, the prophets, and gives us wealth in spite of love for it, to the kinsfolk, to the orphans, and al-muslikin, the poor, and the welfare, and those who ask, and set slaves free, performs a salat, a kama salat, and gives zakat, and who fulfill their covenant when they make it, and who are patient in extreme poverty, in ailment, disease, and at the time of fighting during the battles. Such are the people of the truth, and they are the pious.
Actually, in this short ayah verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines the essentials of faith, personal and financial Islamic obligations, and presents them as a complete code under the title of al-birr, which means ultimate goodness or faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that to say that I am obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this doesn't mean that you just pray, okay, and turn your face towards the left and the right, okay, but the quality of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you believe in Allah, the last day, the angel, the book, the prophets. This is the definition of belief in Islam. When you say, I am a believer in Islam, this means that you believe in Allah, the last day, the angel, the book, and the prophets. This is number one, the quality of the true believers. Okay. Number two, to give the wealth in spite of loving it to the poor and kinsfolk and to the wayfarer and to those who ask. Okay, this is number two, okay, is to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, to perform salat, okay, and to give the zakah, and also to fulfill the covenant when they make it. Fulfilling the covenant when you make it, it means that to fulfill your promises to the people, because you are a person whom you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why I have to fulfill my promises? Because I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah was witness, okay, during the time of the promise. Okay, and also they are the people whom they are patient, okay, in extreme poverty, okay, and disease. And at the time of the battles, such are the people of the truth. Okay, these are the pious people. Okay, this verse ends with the word such as are the people of the truth and the pious people. Okay, those are the people whom they were sincere in their faith and commitment to Allah, and they will prove themselves capable of translating that belief into a practical way of life. They are God-fearing because they are conscious of God and their bond with His power and grace. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately when you will do any deed, you will be observing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be trying all the time to obey His commands and to have sincerity in all your deeds. This is the reality of Islam. Okay? Islam is not to pray and to turn your face to the right and to the left, but all the rest of your deeds are against the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The next concept which we learn from the Quran is the concept of the people's ranks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in surah number 34, verse number 37. Actually, I'm trying to mention as much as I can of the verses of the Quran so that you feel how the Quran is covering all the good concepts of life. If you want to learn any good concept in life, you will find this concept in the Quran. Now we will read from surah number 34. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse number 37. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. To know about the people rank according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وما أولاد أموالكم ولا أولادكم بالتي تقربكم عندنا زلفى إلا من آمن وعمل صالحا فأولئك لهم جزاء الضعف بما عملوا وهم في الغرفات آمنون.
It is not your wealth nor your children that bring you near to us, please Allah, but only he who believes in the Islamic monotheism and does righteous deeds will please us. As for such, there will be twofold reward in what they did, and they will reside in the high dwellings paradise in peace and security.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying how people are evaluated according to his scale. It is mainly based on obedience and submission to the rules of the Quran and the Sunnah. It is not again the wealth or the children that will bring the people to the Lord, but it is the belief in the Islamic monotheism and to do the righteous deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way, okay, to have high rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have the paradise as the final destination. The next concept which will help us also in our worldly life to clarify that the Quran is covering all the concepts of the life, the concept of not being attached to individuals. One must not be attached to individuals regardless who they are, as all human beings will die. If I believe that all the human beings will die, so I am not supposed to attach myself much to any of the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in surah number 4, surah An-Nisa, verse number 133, the concept which will make us to believe in this reality, not to be attached to any of the human being. Surah number 4, Surah An-Nisa, and we will read verse number 133. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We will learn about the virtues of Quran from the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it. Okay? The one who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran is the best of you. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads a letter from the book of Allah will receive a good deed from its recitation. And this good deed is multiplied by 10. I don't say Alif Lam Mim is considered as a letter. Okay? Rather, Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. The meaning of this hadith is that every Arabic letter, okay, when you recite it in the Quran, is equal to 10 good deeds. Okay, this to clarify the big reward of the recitation of the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who is skillful in reciting the Quran is with the pious, and he who stutters when reading the Quran and its recitation is difficult upon him will receive two rewards." Okay, so this is to clarify the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah is encouraging those whom they cannot speak Arabic, or you know Arabic is difficult for them, that they will have double the reward. Okay, when they will read the Quran and it is difficult for them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Read the Quran, for verily it will come forth on the day of resurrection as an intercessor for its readers." Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Quran is an intercessor which by Allah's permission intercedes for its readers. He who appoints it as his leader, then it will lead him to the paradise, and he who puts it behind him, then it will lead him to the hellfire." Actually, to put the Quran as your leader means to follow the rules of the Quran. If you have the intention, "Oh Allah, I have the intention to follow the rules of your book and to live my life with the Quran as the code of my life, as I can, inshallah," okay, inshallah the Quran will intercede for you on the day of judgment. Okay, so this intention regarding the Quran is very important. Even if you don't know some of the rules of the Quran, okay, but still with your intention to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the rules of the Quran, and also you have to try to learn as you can, okay, the rules of the Quran. Okay, not only the intention is very good, but the intention has to be proved through your deeds. Okay, if there is any occasion or any event you can get benefit from it to learn the rules of the Quran, become closer to the Quran, try to utilize this opportunity so that inshallah on the day of judgment the Quran will intercede for you and the Quran will clarify, as I will tell you now, fasting and the Quran will intercede for the slave on the day of resurrection. Fasting would say, "Oh my Lord, I prevented him from food and desires, so accept my intercession for him." And the Quran will say, "I prevented him from sleep during the night, so accept my intercession for him." He, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and they will be allowed to intercede. So in the day of judgment, you are looking for your fasting and for your Quran to come to intercede for you. So all the time try to have this tranquility. Okay? Oh myself, I have tranquility because I am all the time trying to live closer to the Quran, to follow the rules of the Quran, to have the Quran as my code of life, so that inshallah the Quran will come and intercede for me on the day of judgment, and also this is for my fasting. But fasting is once per year, okay? But the Quran, or you can fast, you know, actually every month if you like, but the obligatory fasting is the month of Ramadan. Regarding the Quran can be with you day and night. Okay, you can have more reward from the Quran, and you can have more closer, you can become having a good, more close relation with the Quran. Actually, if you have the sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will feel that I want to follow and I want to learn as I can more from the Quran, because this is the only way to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to pray with sincerity, it is through understanding the meaning of the Quran and through living with the Quran in sincerity. If you want to give charity, if you want to have good manners, if you want to have a happy life, if you want to have patience and tolerate the calamities in your life, it is all through becoming close to the Quran. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Maintain learning the Quran by heart, for verily it is greater in escaping from the hearts of the men than the camels from their reins." Okay, it is great to escape. This is for those whom they memorize the Quran. The problem with the Quran is that, you know, you memorize one surah today, after 1 week you will forget it if you will not keep on revising. Okay? And actually the secret behind this fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be close to the Quran all the time. So whatever you memorize today, you need to revise every day so that you will not forget it. This means that I will be with the Quran every day. Okay, so this is the secret behind, you know, that it is easy to forget the Quran so that you will be always revising the Quran. This is for those whom they, you know, try to memorize the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read the Quran and through it seek the face of Allah, exalted be He, before there comes a nation that implements it like an arrow, they read it fast. Actually, nowadays, may Allah forgive me and forgive the Muslims, okay, people are very busy with the worldly issues, so when they recite the Quran, they recite the Quran as if they are reading the newspaper, with no spirit, no concentration, no reflection. Okay? And actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us against this, way of handling the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are no group which has gathered in a house from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it between them, except that tranquility will descend upon them, mercy will be fallen them, the angels will encircle them, and Allah will mention them to those who are with Him. This is, sister, the circles of the Quran in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best circles over the earth. This is the best meeting over the earth. When you come to the Quran and you attend the circle of the Quran and you learn the book of Allah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will feel the tranquility and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels actually in reality now are encircling around us up to the first heaven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention us to His angels. What is better than this on the earth? What is better? If you feel it with your heart, if you feel now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showering me with tranquility and mercy, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels are around us up to the heaven, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning us. What is more better than this? Who deserves that Allah will mention him? We the sinners, the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning us to His angels because we are in His house, we are studying His book for His sake. We are following the rules of the Quran, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to judge your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, judge your relation with the circles of the Quran in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you will feel that it is the most important priority for you to attend the circles of teaching the Quran in the house of Allah, this means that you have a high rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, because you are the one looking, okay, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention you with those with Him. But if you don't care for these circles, if you don't care to attend, okay, and if it is for you positive and negative, the same, if I attend or I don't attend, I have everything on the internet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the circles of the Quran in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, because Muslims has to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims has to attend and to study the book of Allah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them the best. The more you come to the circles of the Quran, the more tranquility and mercy will be in your heart. The more it will be part of your chemistry, of your spirit, that I want to come to the masjid, I want to recite the Quran in the house of Allah. This is the real mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The days when you will have these circles will be the most Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, blessed days of your week. Because on that day, when you come to the masjid and you attend the circle of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers you with tranquility and mercy. Okay? So let us always evaluate the realities of our life. When everyone is saying, I am very upset, I am not happy, I am confused, I am this and that, okay, let us check with ourselves. Are we in reality trying to have the tranquility in our life? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is teaching us a way to tranquility and mercy. Okay, have the circles of the Quran in the house of Allah, then you will have the tranquility and the mercy. Okay, so why we are not having tranquility and mercy? Because we are not attending the circles of the Quran in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Now inshallah we will discuss about the basic requirements for your relation with the Quran. Now we learn over three classes that the Quran is the source of the happiness and the tranquility, the mercy, the guidance, the covenant. Okay, all the good and all the blessings in this life you can have it through the book of Allah. Okay, so the question will be, what is the basic requirement for my relation with the Quran? The basic requirement for your relation with the Quran, the first one is the belief that the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come to the Quran with a strong and deep belief that it is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your creator and your Lord. Think of His majesty, glory and power, so you feel a devotion for His words. Reflect on His sustenance, mercy and compassion, so you will be filled with love and gratitude for His message. Know His wisdom, knowledge and kindness, and you will become willing, eager and ready to obey His commands. Actually, sisters, this is the importance of knowing who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I will realize that I am living in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my life is regulated through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the power in this life is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will come to the book willing and eager and ready to obey the commands of the only power, only will, only existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So when you will ask again, how do I can obtain this faith and keep it alive, the most effective way to obtain this faith is reciting the Quran itself. The more you recite the Quran, the more you become, you feel the sweetness of the Quran, the more you feel the wisdom of the Quran, the more you love the Quran, the more you become closer to the Quran. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in surah number 8, verse number 2. Let us read it together. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innamal mu'minun alladhina idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum wa idha tuliyat alayhim ayatuhu zadatuhum imana wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun.
Believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, feel a fear in their hearts. And when His verses are recited unto them, they increase their faith and they put their trust in their Lord alone.
So it is again, you know, when you will listen to the Quran, okay, you will feel fear in your heart. And your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. Okay, to be a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must have the feeling of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you listen to the verses of the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, the basic requirement for your relation with the Quran is to realize that the Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to come to it willing, eager and ready to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second requirement for your relation with the Quran is the purity of intention and purpose, sincerity. Read the Quran with no purpose other than to receive guidance from your Lord, to come nearer to Him and to seek His good pleasure. This has to be your intention from the Quran. Okay, what you get from the Quran depends on what you come to it for. Your intention has to be very pure, You must have sincerity towards the Quran. Don't read the Quran mainly for the intellectual pursuit and pleasure. Many people spend a lifetime in studying the language, the style, the history, the law, and the ethics of the Quran. And yet their lives remain untouched by its message. This is a very important point, sisters, and because of that, I am always clarifying for non-Arabic speaking that they must read the message, the Quran, in their language, okay? So that the message will touch their hearts, so that, you know, they will be affected by the message. This is a basic requirement, okay, for the Muslim who wants to get the benefit of the Quran and to live the message of the Quran, okay? If you want the Quran to touch your heart, okay, try to feel the message of the Quran with your heart and with your mind. Try to understand every word of the Quran. Read the Quran in your language. Okay? Actually, you should not come to the Quran only to secure your worldly life, such as your name, status, fame, and money. You may get them, but you will be thrown. Actually, this what I am mentioning now is about those whom they get money through the Quran, or they are known and become famous through teaching the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his hadith, and I am warning myself before warning any other one, if you want to teach the Quran or to help the people to learn the Quran in any way, try to have pure intention to do this deed only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will sell the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get money out of it. How can anyone think of this? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, okay? If I will do my work with sincerity, for His sake, with His book, He will provide me from other ways which I never imagined, okay? But to confuse the Muslims, this is confusion for the Muslims. When I will teach the Quran and get my salary through the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, I will be one of the first three thrown in the hellfire. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the person who learned the Quran and become alim and know everything, and then on the day of judgment, Allah will ask him about the blessing. He will say, Allah, I learned the Quran for your sake. I taught it for your sake. Allah will say, you are a liar. You did this for the people to say about you, and for any other intention, you drag him to the hellfire. Okay, so let us evaluate the Quran, okay, the true value of the Quran. The Quran is not the book that I will get money out of it, or I get a name, or will say Mona knows, or any of these things. Never, never. This is only the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone wants to serve that book, okay, if I decide to serve that book, I am the winner. Just to serve the Quran, because serving the Quran means that I am living with the Quran, I am learning the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those whom they learn the Quran and teach the Quran. This is more than enough to be one of the best in the rank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to come to the Quran, to use the Quran to be a source of having a name or a status or a fame or a money, okay, this means that that person is only destroying himself. Also, you may derive other benefits from the Quran, such as healing of the body afflictions, deliverance from poverty, psychological peace. There is no problem to having this. But again, you should come to the Quran for the sake of obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love the Quran. So through the Quran is healing, is a healing for me, actually in reality, and is a cure for me, and is helping me to give me the patience to tolerate all the problems of my worldly life. Okay? But this is not only the goal all, I am living with the Quran. Basically, I am living with the Quran, I love the Quran, I recite the Quran, I follow the Quran, because it is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the moments you spend with His words. For it is only the Quran that you enjoy the unique blessings of hearing the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing you. Now we will learn about the etiquette with recitation of the Quran. When you recite the Quran, there are some etiquettes, special etiquettes for the Quran, because the Quran is a special book. Because the Quran is the words of the Lord. Okay, I cannot recite the Quran as I read the newspapers. Okay, there are some etiquettes with reciting the Quran. Number one, you should recite the Quran under the best circumstances, including being in a state of purity. State of purity doesn't mean that you do wudu, but you must be pure. Okay? Clean. Okay? If you want to do wudu, well and good. But it is not a basic requirement to recite the Quran. The most important is that you are in a state of purity. Number two, if you can face the Qibla, okay? If you can. Okay, and you must sit in a respectable manner. Okay, for example, don't put your legs up while you are reciting the Quran. Okay, this is means that you are not respecting the one whom he is speaking to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try always to be in a state of respect, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you. Number two, you should recite the Quran slowly, because the goal of recitation is to understand and to follow, not just to finish. Number three, you must have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And also you must try to cry. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite the Quran and cry. If you can't cry, then try to make yourself cry. Actually, the goal of this hadith is that, you know, you feel the Quran with your heart. Okay, don't recite the Quran while your heart is not touched, you know, with the words of the Quran. When your heart will feel the words of the Quran, that, you know, there is a day of judgment and there is a hellfire and blazing fire and this and that, you will start to have fear. Then you will start to cry. Maybe I am the one. Maybe my daughter. Maybe my husband. What will happen? How can I guarantee? I have a lot of fear. Oh Allah, I am in great need of you to save me from this blazing fire. This, you know, many concepts in the Quran, when you will recite it, okay, with your heart, you will feel actually how this test of worldly life is very difficult. No one can guarantee that he will be in the paradise. So if I have this feeling clear in my spirit, I will be crying while I am reciting the Quran. When Allah will discuss about the day of judgment and the blazing fire. Also, a person should recite the Quran while thinking about and pondering over its meaning, with due respect and presence of mind, in order to understand its meaning and purpose. Actually, now I want to clarify to you, sisters, at the end, that this is the Quran, the constitution which every Muslim needs to have as the source of all the rules of his life and as a code of life. This is the Quran, the only source of the correct answer for the worldly life test. If you believe that you are living this life as a test, as we clarified in these three classes, you must need the book of the correct answers. This is the Quran, the book of the correct answers of the worldly life. This is the Quran, the manners of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the Quran, the light of your heart, which will provide you with the internal light that make you to realize all the facts of this life, and also will provide you with the external light which will show you the right path. This is the Quran which will accompany you in your grave and will intercede on your behalf on the day of judgment. This is the Quran, the source of your happiness in your worldly life and the source of your good deeds, which will be your way to the paradise, inshallah. Allah Rahman Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us, conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the Day of Judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, and from a change in your protection, and from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, and from the torment of the grave, and from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves, and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and your favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.